This is The Green on Delaware Public Media, and I'm Tom Byrne. Affordable housing, specifically the lack of it, is an issue that's been in the headlines in Delaware and nationwide for a few years now. And there's no shortage of government agencies, lawmakers, nonprofits, and housing advocates trying to find new and creative ways to deliver solutions. This week, contributor Eileen Dallabrita takes a deeper dive into what the issue looks like here in the First State and some of the responses to it. Her snapshot of affordable housing in Delaware is available at DelawarePublic.org, and she joined me earlier this week to discuss what she learned. So, Eileen, let's set the table first. What is the scope of the affordable housing issue right now in Delaware?
Well, the Delaware State Housing Authority puts the number of needed affordable units at 19,000. And overall, Delaware is short 50,000 housing units. And to give us an idea of how great the problem is in terms of affordability, there are currently 20,357 people on the waiting list that combines all five of Delaware's housing authorities.
That is a lot of people who are trying to find a place that they can afford. How did we get to this point? Are there some factors that help create these conditions that we are seeing right now?
Well, I think a lot of our listeners remember 2008 and the housing bust when much of home building came to a screeching halt. That said, the problem goes back even further. There just hasn't been enough housing that's affordable being built for quite some time. The emphasis has been on single family homes, on generous lots, rather than high density housing.
And are there particular areas of the state where this is more of an issue, or at least more acute? Do different areas face different needs, different issues?
For being such a small state, Delaware is incredibly diverse, and the needs are indeed different. There is an affordable housing shortage in the city of Wilmington, absolutely. There are folks who have been priced out of the market in Kent County, and in Sussex County, where there's a lot of construction going on, there's not much happening in the way of affordable housing. Places for the home health aides, the service workers, the folks who essentially take care of the more affluent people who are buying the big, beautiful new homes.
Yeah, and a lot of that, I think, it sounds like in our reporting, is in Sussex County, you know, the idea that you have a lot of high-end homes in the resort beach area, but the people who teach at the schools there, work in the hospitals there, to find somewhere affordable, they have to move far away to the other end of Sussex County or maybe into Kent County to find somewhere that they can live, and then they got a commute to deal with.
Yeah, Sussex County is a big county.
So what are some of the things that the Delaware State Housing Authority is doing to address the situation?
Well, the waiting list I mentioned earlier is an important step forward. Previously, waiting lists were disjointed, and some of them opened and closed, and home seekers were left wondering when they would get a chance to get in line. The new statewide list is easy to access. And then there are a number of projects, including Amani Village, the redevelopment of the Riverside Housing Project in Wilmington. And it's a new model where instead of creating these barrack-style apartments where residents are essentially marooned from services, the project includes social services that will help the people who live there lead healthier, more productive lives.
So certainly there's that piece of the puzzle, this Delaware State Housing Authority, well-positioned to try some of these things. But there are others who are making an effort to get some things done, including lawmakers in the General Assembly and other places, Sussex County Council, Newcastle County Council. What are some of the things that lawmakers are trying or considering trying to get at this problem, at least in some way, shape, or form?
Well, Senate Bill 87, and this is the second go-round with this proposal, is advocating for statewide approval for ADUs or granny flats. And that would allow homeowners to build additions either to their house, over the garage, whatever, or standalone homes on their properties and rent them out. It's a concept that has been very successful in places with in housing crisis like California.
I was going to say, and it's built, I guess, on the kind of original concept of having like an in-law suite or an in-law place, you know, where you would maybe in the past like have your mother or your father who is older and you want them to live with you, but not like within your house. It's that type of style of living, but made open to like rent to other people.
Yeah, it is. I mean, and it's been very successful in California, and it doesn't take a long time to say outfit that space over your garage for a studio apartment. It's quick.
What are some of the more creative out-of-the-box ideas you saw when you were doing your reporting? Because obviously this is not a one-size-fits-all answer that can be found to affordable housing. And we've seen some creative out-of-the-box ideas. Can you tell us a bit about some of those and if there's any indication that some of them have a better chance of success than others?
Well, Little Living, it's a nonprofit developer, is building a village, a cluster of 10 to 20 one-bedroom and two-bedroom homes in Georgetown. They're very small, ranging from 400 to 600 square feet. And it's getting people's motors going who want to help. Two local landowners each donated an acre for the development, and rents there would range from $850 to $1,000 a month and include utilities and internet service. And they're expanding to Kent County. They're under contract to develop 27 acres there. And that would be 200 to 220 homes that will be sold, as well as 40 to 50 rental properties. And plans also are in play for a mini village in Milford. So will groupings of mini homes work? I think it's an idea whose time has come.
I'm curious with that type of idea or even some of the other things that you've talked about, like the ADUs, is there a certain NIMBY concern that's out there that makes this hard to do, that some people are concerned that these type of things will hurt the value of their current home that they own? Is that a hurdle that has to be kind of overcome in any of these ideas moving forward?
I think so. You know, when you have a concept like Living Little, they've essentially are in tracks where nobody else is living right now. But I would imagine that if somebody wants to build a second home in their backyard, that there might be some pushback from neighbors. It's going to be something that will generate controversy.
It took some time, Eileen, to get into this predicament. How long might it take to get out? Is there optimism that there are enough tools in the toolbox, these things that we're talking about, to make some real progress, both short-term and long-term?
Well, how long it will take to turn the ship around depends on how quickly we can produce high-quality homes. Housing advocates say, build, baby, build. But there has to be more of an emphasis on high-density homes, because we can't plop a house on every square inch of Delaware. So if we're going to build our way out of this crisis, we have to be smart about it.
Thanks to contributor Eileen Dalabrida for her time this week. Her snapshot of affordable housing in the first state is available at DelawarePublic.org. Next up on The Green, Arts Playlist, and a look ahead to the upcoming Southern Delaware Orchestra summer season. This is The Green on Delaware Public Media.